China has ushered in a change of its leaders. But many human rights activists are asking whether there will be a change in the nation's one-child policy with its controversial use of forced abortions. A UN expert has estimated that 200 million women are missing in the world today, mainly in China and India, due to the sex selection abortion of baby girls. A leading activist against the forced abortion and gendercide is Reggie Littlejohn, president of the NGO Women's Rights Without Frontiers. She has been promoting a shocking new video called It's a Girl that exposes the gendercide in nations like China and India that have a strong traditional preference for boys over girls. She spoke to Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges.
I believe that China will ease its one-child policy, but not as the reports have suggested recently. The Western media, every time the Chinese government tweaks the policy, the Western media announces that China has abandoned the one-child policy. And the core of the policy is not how many children are allowed. The core of the policy is the coercion. So the recent report said that they think that China should slowly move from a one-child policy to a two-child policy over the next 3 years and then abandon birth limits in the year 2020. That is simply a suggestion by a think tank. The Chinese government has not adopted it, and moving to a two-child policy does not end the coercion, because you'll still have a forced abortion if you get pregnant without permission, whether it's your first child or your second child.
And do we have any idea how many women who are discovered being pregnant without permission are then forced to have an abortion, even when the baby is very late term, almost full term?
What we do know is that the Chinese Communist Party will abort babies up to the ninth month of pregnancy. And we have a number of very high-profile cases in the last year in which this happened. The Chinese Communist Party boasts that it has prevented 400 million lives through the one-child policy. They have not broken that down between forced abortion, forced sterilization, elective abortion, etc. So there's no reliable way to count the number of forced abortions in China.
But when you talk about these forced abortions at late term, it's literally officials breaking into a house in the middle of the night and taking a woman off to the hospital.
Yes, we recently had a case like that, the case of Feng Jiangmei, who was dragged out and strapped down to a table and forced to abort a baby at 7 months. And actually, a photograph of that, which Women's Rights Without Frontiers broke to the West, circulated on all over the world, creating outrage. And the European Parliament actually passed a resolution condemning forced abortion in China, citing the case of Feng Jiangmei.
Of course, China is not the only country that has a strong traditional preference for boys over girls. India is also a culprit in this sense. Do we have any idea altogether how many baby girls are having their lives snuffed out before they're even born in both China and India?
India has an organization called 50 Million Missing, and their president estimates that 50 million girls have been snuffed out before they were born just because they were girls. Now, I've seen various estimates, but according to one UN expert, when you count gendercide all over the world, which includes China and India, up to 200 million women are not living in the world today because they were selectively aborted before they were born.
And of course, this has led to hugely skewed ratios of boys to girls in both China and India, with obviously a very huge social impact as well, you know, a lack of women for boys to marry.
That is correct. In China, there are an estimated 37 million more men living today than women because of the sex-selective abortion of baby girls. And what that does is it is driving human trafficking and sexual slavery, not only in China, but the surrounding countries as well.
You have been promoting a video called It's a Girl that lifts the lid on this problem of gendercide in both China and India. And it included footage of an Indian mother who said she'd killed 8 baby girls of hers after giving birth to them. What kind of impact has this video had? And what are you hoping it will achieve?
Well, the video is extraordinary. It's a film. It's a feature-length documentary. It's an hour long, and it was shot on location in China and India, and the brave filmmakers interviewed incredibly courageous women who were willing to speak out about how they were being forced to abort, or in the case of that Indian woman, she had chosen to strangle 8 baby girls in her quest for a boy, and it's having an extraordinary impact because of the doors that have opened where it's been shown. I, together with the director and the producer of the film, premiered the film at the House of Lords in the British Parliament, and then also in the European Parliament. We're going to be showing it on Capitol Hill. I'm going to be premiering it at the Irish Parliament in February, and hopefully in Rome also next year, possibly even at the Vatican. So we'll see. But I think that when people see this film, it grips their heart with the horrific problem of gendercide and forced abortion in China and India, and also with the desire to do something about it. So the film has actually adopted Women's Rights Without Frontiers program as its action program for China. And Women's Rights Without Frontiers has launched a campaign called Save a Girl, where people can literally save the lives of baby girls in China. You go online, and what we do is we give a stipend to women who have found that they are pregnant with girls and have said that they want to abort them, or who have just given birth to a girl and are being pressured by their family to abandon the girl so she will die. And we give them like $25 a month to keep their girls. And in every case, these women have kept their girls. And we have girls in China that are living today because of our program and because of the generosity of people supporting it.
When it comes to the Chinese government, why do you think it's so keen on maintaining this one-child policy, even though, as you say, you know, it has this highly controversial forced abortion, and as we discussed earlier, is leading to this totally skewed ratio of far more baby boys being born than baby girls?
I believe that the Chinese Communist Party keeps the one-child policy because the one-child policy is, in some sense, keeping them in power. And the reason I say that is that the one-child policy instills terror in people. It touches everyone. It doesn't matter what your social rank is. It doesn't matter where you live. Everyone is under the one-child policy. Everyone is subject to forced abortion. So this is a way that the Chinese Communist Party, which is not an elected government, can reign through terror over its people. Also, the infrastructure of coercion that is required to enforce the one-child policy can be turned in any direction, so that same family planning police and other officials that are dragging women out of their homes and forcibly aborting them can also be dragging away pro-democracy fighters or journalists or human rights lawyers, which is exactly what they do. So they need to have this infrastructure of coercion to keep the entire social structure under their thumb.